2 Peter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Peter is writing to us from his heart, as he had been led by the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith, to remind us of what we believed on when we accepted Christ as Savior. He reminded us of the urgency of knowing what we believe and of feeding our faith. And if I could tell you something today, guys, that it is more urgent today than even yesterday, that we know what we believe and why we believe it. Because there are challenges out there. You know, there are challenges out there. You know, the things that are being placed on the ballot are challenges to our faith and what we believe. The things that are being presented before us on the television and on the radio and in the school, and on the schoolyard are challenges to what we believe. And we have to make a decision today. And it's urgent that we make a decision on what we have believed. And that's what I believe Peter is saying. He's stirring us up so that we might know specifically what we believe about God. It's urgent. It's urgent. It's urgent that we feed our faith. And you know, spiritual food is just as important to the soul as physical food is to the body. And just as we got to eat our physical food for our bodies to survive, we need to eat some spiritual food. We need to dwell on the Word of God so that we might survive. Starve the body, and the body becomes weak. You starve the body, and it becomes weak, and then the immune system, it breaks down. And it becomes susceptible to disease. And you starve it long enough, and that physical body will die. You starve the soul, and it becomes weak. And it becomes confused. All right? And then the immune system breaks down. And the leading of the Holy Spirit, it becomes a stumbling block rather than a foundational stone on which we stand. And the spiritual, the soul becomes susceptible to the diseases of the world. And you starve it long enough, and the soul will become disconnected from the vine. And it'll die. And it'll become useless. In Matthew 6:24, the Bible says it this way: "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You got to choose. You got to feed it. And that which we feed will grow. In part one of this message, God's gospel come to life, we studied Peter's reminder that God's gospel did not sneak into the world. It was not an afterthought, but it was God's plan. And God gave the prophecy of his coming Savior to his prophets as early as Moses. And when Christ came, he fulfilled the prophecy just as it had been given. The message didn't come in secret, but it came in power. And the message brought power to the believer. The power not only to believe, the Bible says, but to trust him. It is through Christ that we're able to trust God. And that came through the gospel, through the message that Christ brought to us. To know the power he gave us, the power to know his word. To know that his word is reliable. To know that every promise that God has made is personal. The power to know that even a small amount of faith is enough to conquer the mountains in this life that get into our path. What did Christ say? If you'll just have the faith of a mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, mountain, move. And God was not telling us that we literally need to move every mountain, but he said every mountain that comes into your way, if you'll just have faith. He says God is able, and he will with the temptation, he will with whatever obstacle, he will make a way of escape. Why? So that we may be able to bear it. That's the power that he's given us. That's the power that he's given us. And as we close out chapter 1, we will see still another reminder of the urgency of faithfulness and of the reliability of the Word of God. And if we will add these truths to our personal treasure boxes, to our hearts, then Peter's calling to strengthen our faith will certainly be accomplished. 2 points I want to share with you today regarding God's gospel. Who but God could have authored such a wonderful plan of salvation when you think about it? Who but God could have done it? No one. And who could have so skillfully recorded it? No one. Who but God could have inspired the holy prophets of old to write it down for our learning and our application even today? No one. My 2 points I want to share with you today is that he records it, that gospel. He records it in our hearts today. It's the same gospel that he recorded for our hearts even yesterday. So first of all, let's look at today. He records this gospel in our hearts today. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 Peter. Here I go again with that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Now, Peter has just shared with us that he had an experience with Christ that was out of this world, literally out of this world. He was selected by Christ, along with two of his brothers, to see Christ transfigured. He saw Jesus Christ glorified. He saw the face of Christ shine like the sun, the Bible said. He saw his clothing to become white like light, the Bible says. He saw prophets of old who were dead and gone stand there with Jesus Christ. And then he heard the voice from heaven say, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. But in all that, Peter says, so that your faith might be strengthened. And I want you to understand what he's saying is, he says, you know what? You might not ever hear, literally, the voice of God from heaven. You might not literally ever hear the voice of God from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. He says, but we have also a more sure prophecy even than that. And what is that prophecy? It is the word of God. It is God's gospel. He says, Peter says, you have something better than a miracle. And I want you guys to understand that, because today in the world of church today, there is a lot of sensationalism placed on experiencing a miracle. Having seen a miracle, being part of a miracle, having a miracle done in your life. But Peter says there's something better than the miracle. It is the word of God. It is a sure prophecy because God authored it from the very beginning with you and I in mind. You know, when there were people following Christ and he was walking about on the earth, and there were people who came and he fed them. He fed 5,000. He fed multitudes of people. He healed people. And you know what he said to some of them? He says, you don't come follow me because you believe, but you follow me because you want to see another miracle. And the miracles are not enough. They're not enough. Why? Because when the miracles are gone, what's left? There's no faith. And what God wants us to understand is that there is something better. There is something better than sensationalism. It is a right relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a right relationship with Jesus Christ. It is that we make the gospel alive in our hearts as God intended it from the very beginning. He recorded it so that it might be alive in our hearts today. Now, we have a more sure word, he says. We have a more sure word, he says today. God still wants to record it in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls in this world that we live in today. He says, and we do well if we take heed. We do well if we listen. He said, you'll do well if you believe the message that God has already given you. Amen. And that you allow the word of God to confirm the word of God in your life. You know, what we see in this verse 19 here, I believe is a process of belief. He kind of lays it out for us. He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, that you listen, that you believe. He says, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He says, first you hear it. And he said, the word of God is likened unto a light in a dark place. Now you imagine, if you're in a dark place and it's absolutely dark and your intention is not to be in the dark and a light comes on, then you are immediately drawn to the light. And that's what God is talking about here. He said, you would do well if you would take heed to the gospel that God has laid out to you, that you would be drawn to the light, which is Christ. And he says, not only that you would be drawn to the light, but then he says, also, he says, until the day dawn. And, you know, I did a little research on dawn because I wanted to understand exactly what the Bible was saying. At dawn, what's happening? The light is just beginning to appear out of the darkness. It's been there, but it's starting to appear and starting to get brighter. And what the Bible is saying is, first of all, I want you to be drawn to that light. And then when you understand that light, which is the gospel, he says, and then there's an appearance of that light in your own body, in your own life, that you begin to shine with the light of Christ. And then he says, and then I want you to grow even beyond just having a little appearance of the light of Christ. He says, I want you to carry on until the day star arises in your heart, until you're full of the brightness, which is Christ. Amen. That's the process. He says, first, I want you to take heed to the word of God, and I want you to be drawn to the word of God. And then I want there to be an evidence that the word of God is true to you in your heart. And then he says, I want you to just blossom. I want you to be like a bright light. Amen. Amen. I want you to be filled with the wisdom of our God. Amen. We do well, he says. We do well to take heed and to let the knowledge of God grow inside of us. To grow inside of us. In other words, it's not about the miracle. It's about the word of God. It's about the prophecies of God. It's about getting to know God. All of it was written for our learning. Now I want to show you something. Look in John chapter number 5. That's on page 783 in your pew Bible. John chapter number 5. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 24. Here we have Christ speaking. And he's speaking to the people about really getting to know the word of God, about the importance of letting the gospel be alive in their individual hearts. He says, beginning at verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's the whole gospel right there. He just laid it out for us. He said, what is God's expectation? What has been the message from the very beginning? He that heareth my word, he that believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What did he say over in John chapter 3? He says, I am not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the whole world might be saved, that the world through me might be saved. That's his intention. He says, I came to fulfill this great prophecy of God the Father so that you might understand that his heart is turned towards you, so that you might turn your heart towards him. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. What is God's purpose? He says, let me tell you. He says the mystery is being opened up to you. And first you got to believe. He says, and once you believe, then you are transported from being dead to now being alive because of our faith in Christ. Amen. He says, that's the gospel come to life.
Amen.
He that believeth on the Son hath life. He says, marvel not, verse 28, at this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. That they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now Jesus came even saying, I come to bear witness of my Father.
Amen.
And if I make a name for myself in exclusion of my Father, he says, there's nothing to me. And let me tell you something. God is telling us even today, if we will just humble ourselves before him and allow him to be used through us, for us, he can do great things. He says, I came to glorify my Father. I came to bear witness of what? The prophecies that had already been recorded. And Jesus said, if I come with a brand new word, there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. Because God had already recorded his plan, his gospel plan, and it was simply coming to life. It was simply coming to life. Verse 32 says, there is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. He's speaking of John. He says, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He says, you were willing for a little while to believe in what John had said, but not for the long haul. What happened? What happened? He says, but I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. What is he saying? I'm fulfilling that which was already given unto you, if you will just hear it and believe it and take heed. If you will just take heed. He said, the same I do. I do the will of my Father. Verse 37, he says, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. And this is what I love about the way that God explains his word to us. Because God gives us clearly what his expectation is. What is God's will for us? His will is that we might know him. What is God's will for us? His will is that that we might be drawn to that light that's shining in the dark place. And that we might allow that day dawn, that little bit of light to appear in our own hearts. And that we might feed it. It might grow until it becomes a day star shining in our hearts. He says, search the scriptures.
Amen.
He says, search the scriptures. Let me tell you what is God's will for you? Search the scriptures.
Amen.
You want the word of God to come alive in your heart? Search the scriptures, he says. And there's the answer. He says, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He says, you want to know about God's plan? He says, from the very beginning, I've laid it out for you. He says, and you will not come to me, verse 40, that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. Why? He says, because you want something that you can touch and feel and see. He says, you want somebody who can lay hands on you and make something special happen. He said, but you've never seen the shape of God. You've never seen the hand of God. You've never seen the person of God. He said, but will you have faith in God and his word? He said, search the scriptures, it's all there. Even the warning that men will follow after those who don't know God.
Amen.
He says, will you search the scriptures? Will you search the scriptures? Verse 44, he says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Because he didn't come to condemn the world. He says, there is one that accuses you, even Moses. And how could he say that? Let me tell you how he could say that. Because he says the gospel has been there all along. And he says, if you say that you believe in Moses and the words that Moses has written, the words that God has spoken to him, then you have to believe in me. And how can I say that? Because he goes on to say that. He says, for had ye believed Moses, verse 46, you would have believed me.
Amen.
For he wrote of me. But you believe not in his writings. And how shall you believe my words? Can I give you my little quick translation of that? If you don't believe Genesis 1:1 through Revelation, whatever it is over there, then you don't believe in Jesus Christ. You can't. You cannot start at Matthew and say you're a New Testament believer. Because the Testament started when the Bible says, and God said. That's where it starts. And Jesus himself said, if you had believed in what Moses had written, then you would believe in me because he wrote about me. He wrote about me. And he says that is the same message that he seeks to record in our hearts today. The same message that's still alive and well, that gospel. Moses wrote of Christ. And we have a more sure prophecy. Better than any miracle. Better than any even a miracle, miraculous voice from heaven. And because of this great gospel, recorded today in our hearts as it was recorded in the days of old into the hearts and minds of the prophets, we have a responsibility. We have a calling. And our calling is that we should serve God with great confidence and in hope and in great expectation of all that he has promised us. Now, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, page 853 in your pew Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. God says we have a great, we should have confidence in the word of God. Because of all that God has done for us, because of all that God has revealed to us, because Jesus himself said, Moses wrote about me, and I am fulfilling those words. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 12, here's what the Bible says. Seeing then that we have such hope, seeing then that we have believed, we have trusted, we have confidence in God. He says, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now, let me tell you something. What God is saying there is, he says, if you can read that Old Testament and not see Jesus, then he says it is likened to having a veil over your eyes. And the example that Paul writes here as he's writing to the church at Corinth is this. He speaks about the time when Moses had an encounter with the Lord. And Moses, when he came back, his face was shining and they couldn't even look on him. He had to cover his face so that the people could be in his presence. And he says, all right, these people, it wasn't so much that God was so big and that Moses was even so glorified. It was that they didn't really believe it. They didn't believe in the experience that Moses had. They didn't believe that Moses had spent that time with the Lord. They didn't believe that they could have the same close relationship with the Lord. And even today, the Bible says, when they read the accounts in the Old Testament, it's like they have a veil covering their eyes. Because still they can't see Jesus. Still they can't see Jesus. He says, because their minds are blinded. Their minds are blinded. Verse number 15 says, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Their hearts are not ready to receive the gospel, which is Christ. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the heart, when it shall turn to the Lord, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, then the veil shall be taken away. And can I tell you something, guys? The gospel is alive today. Because for those of us who are believers in Christ, the veil has been taken away. The veil has been taken away. And the mystery that was once in the Word of God has been taken away. The Bible says the veil is gone when the hearts are turned to God. And then God records the gospel. And where does he put it? He puts it in our hearts. That's what God, that's one thing God prophesied. He said, one day I'm going to put my word in their hearts. They're not going to have any need for a prophet or a priest anymore because I'm going to put my word in their hearts. He says, here, he's taken it away. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Man, that's a little confusing, but it's so good. You gotta break it down and understand exactly what God is telling us. He says here, but we all, now because of the Spirit of the Lord, because of the Spirit of the Lord, because of our relationship with the Lord, he says, we no longer look through a veil. But we look as it were into a glass. Now I want you to understand what he's saying. We look as it were into a glass with our faces completely revealed. And we see into the mystery of the Word of God. We see directly into the mystery of the Word of God. Why? Not because we're so great, but because God wants us to. Because the gospel now dwells in our heart. Because we have now said, God, show me. Show me your word and your will and your way. He says, now we're looking through a glass. Amen. We can see clearly, he said, because we have been changed. Amen. We have been changed into the same image as our Savior. And not just for right now, guys, but from glory to glory forever and ever. Amen. As by the Spirit of the Lord, that's what he's done. As by the Spirit of the Lord, that's what he's done. And he desires to record his gospel in our hearts. And we got to take heed that we hear him, that we run to the light, and that we let that light stir and grow in us until it overtakes us and the day star shines in our heart. That's God's desire for us. So it's recorded in our hearts today. Now let's look at, secondly, that it's recorded in our hearts for yesterday. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. He says here, we have a more sure word, verse 19. Let's read it again. A prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. No prophecy of the Scripture is to be interpreted privately or based on what I think. It's what the Bible's saying. Amen. You hear me? Amen. Not based on what I think. Amen. But Scripture is to be explained by Scripture. That's why Christ said to the people there, search the Scripture. You got a question? Then search the Scripture. Scripture is to be explained by Scripture, and God gives each of us the wisdom to understand it. Not at all at the same levels. But God gives each one of us the wisdom that we need to understand His Word and His heart better. Now, you know I love 2 Corinthians 4, so we got to look at it. 2 Corinthians 4, page 853 in your Pew Bibles. I want to show you here, the Bible says that God will give us what we need to be able to understand His Word according to His will for our lives. We're not all on the same levels, but we can all grow at our own pace. That's why God says little by little. That's how we get it. Just a little by little. If we will commit ourselves to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start now at verse number 1. Here's what he says. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Even here he says, not our own interpretation, but we're using the word of God exactly as God has inspired us to do. He He says, but if our gospel be hid, and this is very important, but if our gospel be hid, the Bible says, it is hid to them that are lost. You know what he's saying? If they cannot understand the word of God, it's because they have not yielded themselves to the word of God, to the person of God. My own confession, owned the Bible for so many years, didn't understand it. Just a book with red and black words in it. I just didn't understand it. I didn't. But when God got a hold of my heart, when he really got a hold of my heart, those same words, that same red and black words, then came alive. Because I was no longer lost, but I was found in the love of God. And God says, if the gospel is hidden, it's hidden to them because they're lost. Because their hearts have not yet been given over to the Lord. You know, I've read somewhere that the Bible's written on a third grade level. That that just about anybody can read it on a third grade level. So it's not that we don't understand the words. But if we haven't made ourselves available to the meaning of the words, then that's all they are. That's all they are. You know, and we gotta understand that God has recorded this stuff for our hearts. He did it even from the very beginning. Verse 4 says, so if it's lost, verse 3 says, if it's hid to them that are lost. And here we have a description of them. It says, in whom the God of this world, small g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If I could take you back to 2 Peter verse 1, here's what he says. In comparison to what we just read there, he says, if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that's lost. And why are they lost? Because their minds have been blinded. Because the devil, the Satan, he has done all that he can to block the light of God, the light of Christ from shining in their hearts. Because he knows that if we just see a glimmer of that light, then you will be drawn to that light. And if just a little bit of that light begins to attach itself to you like the day dawning, he says, before long, he says, the devil knows that he'll have to give up because the day star will begin to shine in the hearts and there's a brand new believer. So what is the devil's goal? Keep you in the dark. Amen. To keep you in the dark, lest you see the light, that light which is Christ, and be drawn into it. You know that hell was created for the devil. Not for us. Though there'll be many people who will find themselves there because they will not have been able to break away from the darkness and see that light which is Christ. And the devil knows it. Verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He's saying, we just like he was prophesied in the word of God, he says, that's what we preach in that alone. For God, here's my verse, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's who Jesus is. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He's saying God has allowed the light to shine so that you might understand the rest of his plan for you.
Amen.
He has given us the knowledge through the face of Jesus Christ. Through the face of Jesus Christ. Wow. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not in us. It's all about God and what God has done and what God can do through the believer. Now the holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And when God gave Moses the account of creation, and you know, Moses is given credit for having written the book of Genesis. And you'd say, well, how did Moses write it? He wasn't there in the beginning, but God inspired him. God gave him those words to record for us. And when God gave to Moses, even the account of the very beginning, God gave to Moses an account that one day there was going to be a Savior who would redeem his people, redeem God's people unto himself. Look in Genesis chapter 3. I love to go back to this. Genesis chapter 3, page 3 in your pew Bibles. Satan had just pulled off a great deception. He had just enticed Eve to take of the forbidden fruit. And Eve had just convinced Adam to follow suit. And now we find God's perfect creation had been spoiled at the hands of man. And God came down and God brought about judgment because God was displeased that the simple instructions, the commands that he had given to Adam and to Eve had not been heeded to. But in Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse number 15, we see even then at the very beginning, as God inspired Moses to write to us, the grace of God and the plan of God. Grace of God and plan of God. Verse number 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." God says, but in all of that, I bring you grace. I bring you grace. I bring you forgiveness. And I bring you a Savior. If when the word is written, the written word of God, if it's not understood, it's not because the word of God has any flaws in it, but it's simply because the heart is not ready to receive it. Amen. Too much private interpretation, not enough Jesus. Too much private interpretation, not enough Jesus. Now that same man, Moses, when he was leading the children of Israel, he spoke with God. Now flip over to Numbers chapter 16. That's on page 126. When Moses, who God inspired to write of the grace that God extended to Adam and Eve and to mankind because of Adam and Eve, that same Moses leading the children of Israel spoke with God. And God gave him prophecy of the Savior. And God gave him the plans for the people, for the children of Israel. He gave them the laws. He gave them the plans for the tabernacle. God spoke to him. And that became a problem for many because they saw Moses as trying to present himself as too holy, as setting himself apart from the people. And there were three fellows in particular that we're going to read about here in Numbers 16. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They had rebelled against Moses and in essence against God as they decided to do things their own way. They decided they could put a little of their own interpretation. They put their own spin as to how things should be done. They had interpreted the word of God and they would do things differently. The problem, I believe, is that the gospel was hid to them. They were lost. They were trying to do their own thing. And in Numbers chapter number 16, skip down. We're just going to read a couple of verses for the sake of time. But in Numbers chapter 16, skip down to verse number 28. God had identified these men and the evil that they were doing. But Moses, so that the people understood that he was not there inflicting his own plan for the children of Israel, that he was following the plan of God as God had given to him, he declared to the people here in verse number 28 that he was following the plan of God. It says, "And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. And if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me." He says, here is an opportunity for us to know if this is indeed God's plan or not. And what Moses is saying, you know what, if God doesn't bring about swift judgment, if God allows these people to die the way that people normally die, that they might get sick, they might get old, they might pass away. He says, if that is the case, then God did not send me and you don't have to follow after me anymore because I'm not the man of God. He says, but if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked, not me, he says, but the Lord. And if you were to go on and read the rest of that story, the Bible tells us that the earth, in fact, did. Moses told those people, you better separate yourself from these folks. If you don't believe what they believe, then you better leave them be. And they all stood there in their tents with their stuff. And the Bible says that the earth opened, swallowed them all up and all of their stuff. And they died there, and then the earth closed itself back up. God did a new thing to prove that God had a plan and that Moses was his man to bring his plan to pass. But if you were just to browse through the Old Testament of God's word and just look for the phrase, and the Lord said unto, you'll see that God spoke to people like Moses, and God spoke to people like Jeremiah. God spoke to the prophets of old. You will see that the Lord did indeed speak, just as Peter wrote to holy men of old, and he gave them great prophecies to record for you and I. David, and I want to show you a few of these before we get out of here. David, as he was near the end of his life, spoke of his experiences with the Lord God. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23, page 270 in your pew Bibles. David was a great man of God. God called him a man after his own heart. And as David's life was nearing an end, hear the words that David spoke about his relationship with God and how God had spoken to him. And we know that we read many of David's words in the Psalms, as we read how God inspired David to write. And David wrote of the soon coming prophecy of the soon coming Savior, Jesus Christ. In 2 Samuel 23, beginning at verse number 1, he says, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning. There he is again. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises. What does that sound like? Sounds like a day dawning. He says, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. He says, although my house be not so with God, David's saying, although my house is not perfect, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and my desire, although he make it not grow. Not yet, he said, but God has prophesied he's going to. Now I want to show you a few places where he spoke to Isaiah. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 7, page 519. I promise I'll be quick. In Isaiah chapter 7, God spoke to Isaiah, and Isaiah prophesied of the soon coming king, so that we might understand that this gospel has been ever present. Even though the people who might have listened to Isaiah when he spoke these words didn't completely understand that Isaiah was speaking about Christ.
Amen.
God says now, because the day star has arisen in our hearts, he says now we can go back and read these words and we can understand that it was all recorded for us yesterday, for today. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, he says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. You know what he's saying there? He said, there's going to be one who's coming, and he's going to be born of your people. He's going to be just like you. He's going to be a man like you, tempted like you are, yet without sin. He says, God is sending you a great Savior. He says, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both their kings. He's speaking about the tribes of Judah and Israel, that they were, these kingdoms that they had set up were not going to be able to withstand because of their sinfulness. Now, flip over to one page there, to Isaiah chapter number 9, page 520 in your pew Bibles. God gave Isaiah yet another prophecy, beginning at verse number 6. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What is he saying? What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. He says he's sending him. And God is going to be with us. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. And God wasn't done with Isaiah. Flip over to chapter 11, one page, 521. Chapter 11, verse number 1. God is still giving to the people the prophecy that there is coming a Savior, that the gospel is alive and will remain alive until our Savior returns. In 11, verse 1, he says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And what did he say when he spoke to the people over there in John chapter 5? He says, I'm not going to judge you. It's Moses that judges you. And how did Moses judge the people? And Moses was dead. It was the words that were recorded in the gospel according to God. He says, with righteousness will he judge you. Righteous judgment comes from the word of God. Verse 5, he says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And he says, when God comes, and when God gets a hold of the hearts of men and women, when the love of God is dwelling in the hearts of people, he says, here's what's going to happen. And God is not talking about animals, but I believe he's talking about personalities of people. He's talking about people being changed. He says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full, here it is, of the knowledge of the Lord. He says, the mystery is going to be revealed. And the whole earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wow, that's a great picture right there. He says it's going to be like water that just flows. It's going to be a sweeping, and the hearts of people are going to be changed. Man. He says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. And to it shall the Gentiles see. He says, and there are some people who aren't Jews who are going to be included in my plan. Guess who that is? That's us. Praise the Lord for his prophetic plan. He says, and his rest shall be glorious. Then I want to show you just a few more. I'm done. Then to Micah. Micah chapter 5, page 681. That's one of those little ones. Micah chapter number 5, page 681 in your pew Bibles, beginning at verse number 1. He says in Micah chapter number 5, verse 1, he says, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old. He says he does not have a beginning. His going forth have been of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in strength, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. There is coming a Savior.
Amen.
The Bible says he wasn't an afterthought, but God recorded it for our hearts so many years ago, so that we might apply it to our hearts today and know that he is God. And if the prophecies themselves were not enough to convince you that God spoke the words, he fulfills them and records it for us as well. I just want to show you a few of those that were fulfilled, and then we'll be done here. Flip over to Matthew chapter number 1, page 703 in your pew Bibles. I am almost done. Matthew chapter 1, skip down this time to verse number 18. So that we might understand that none of it was by chance. There was no luck involved. That things did not just happen according to the plans that any man laid, but these were plans that were laid by our God himself. In Matthew chapter 1, given the account of the birth of Christ, it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us. Fulfilled.
Amen.
Now look in Matthew chapter 2, if you need further convincing, page 704, verse number 23, just one. Jesus, as he was going about fulfilling the plan of God, verse 23 says, And he came and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now flip over to one more, to Matthew chapter number 4. Skip down to verse 12. He says, Now when Jesus has heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness, they saw great light. Why? Because Christ was there.
Yes, Lord.
And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Man. One more and I'll be done. Flip over to Matthew 8. Page 708. Skip down to verse number 16. He says, When the evening was come. This is an account of Jesus. They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. His gospel is alive and well. Record it for our hearts today. Record it for us yesterday. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Better than a voice from heaven. Because we might not all get one. But we all have opportunity to hold on to the very word of God. Hang on to it. and feed our spiritual souls with it, so that we might be forever convinced of the great plan of God. Of the great plan of God. And that we are in it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful. Thankful indeed, Lord, for your sure prophecy. That we don't need to add to it. We don't need to take anything away. We don't need to put our own spin on it, Lord, but we need to search the Scriptures. Not just once, but always. And Lord, there I believe we'll find the answers, your plan, your will for our lives. Lord, I pray that we might set our hearts on hearing the voice of God in our souls and in our spirits. And Lord, I have experienced what it means to give myself over to you and to wait to hear from you as I read your word. And Lord, I've heard you speak to me in that still small voice in my spirit. I've heard you give me direction, and I've heard you give me peace, and I've heard you give me comfort. I've heard you give me confidence, Lord, to go into the next day and into every day. And Lord, I pray that each one of us might have that same experience, that we might give ourselves completely over to you and let that gospel come alive in our hearts, that we might seek, Lord, the knowledge, that we might seek to see the mystery of your plan from yesterday even until today, and your plan even into the future, as you have promised us, Lord, that you're going to come back again, and that you're going to claim us for yourself, and that we already win. You've given us the victory, Lord, and we know that in your word. I pray, Lord, that your word might be alive in the hearts of those who hear me today. I pray, Lord, that you will just find a place in each heart. And I pray, Lord, that you might let not only there be a light to shine out of darkness, Lord, not only let there be that breaking of the day, but let there be that true day star shining in every heart, a light that shines so brightly, Lord, that it will be able to overcome whatever it is that this world might throw at it. Lord, I pray for your peace, and I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your peace and your understanding until Jesus comes. In his name, amen. Amen.